Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job post seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/PODKATZ13. Just go to Indeed.com/PODKATZ13 right now. And support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
The ADVFN podcast with Justin Waite.
Welcome to the ADVFN podcast. Sorry, I was trying to be a bit silly there. Welcome to the ADVFN podcast, episode 258. If you have a friend, why not tell one? Even two. No, just tell one. And you can tell the other one next week. Anyway, listen, on the podcast today, Alan Green, CEO of Brand Communications, talks about a company called DDD Group. Now, there's a very interesting play on here. If you'd like a bit of a punt, not put too much money on, basically like equivalent of a little horse race bet. If you like that kind of thing going on, then it's worth listening out to Alan's interview in a few minutes' time. But also their broker forecast and the macro news. But before that, I felt a bit bearish today, to the point where I thought, is there a recession around the corner? And, you know, sometimes our perception isn't accurate, it's just perception. What we think isn't necessarily what's going on. And, you know, I've had to have lots of people come on the podcast before and say, oh, you know, the stock market's going to crash, you know, several times. And it doesn't happen. It turns out it's all in their mind. And of course, we are, to a certain extent, a lot of us are deluded, you know, and a little bit of delusion is not a bad thing. You know, if we actually were living in reality all the time, we'd be quite depressed, I think, you know, but we are a little bit deluded. We live with a bit of hope, you know, a bit of optimism, which is a good thing, I think. And we think sometimes we're probably better than we are, or we'd like to see things. It protects us. Our delusion protects us from the harshness of reality. So I was thinking, are we going to head for recession in 2016? This is what I kept thinking. And why I kept thinking this was I kept reading bearish reports, you know, on Twitter, links from there, in Market Watch and Zero Hedge. I don't know if you know those guys on Twitter. But lots of bearish reports there talking about deflation is going to happen and all this stuff. And I thought to myself, hang on a sec. A bit of negativity is quite healthy. But I just went on the world, and every time I get bearish, I do think about the world's economies, because that's what it's all about, essentially. So look at number one, America, the biggest. How are they doing? They're doing okay. You know, the GDP is expanding. The GDP is out this week, I think, this quarter's GDP, and it's supposed to be an increase. And also, Britain's GDP is out this week. It's supposed to be an increase as well. Now, we've got the second biggest economy, which is China. Yes, they are still expanding. We don't know. A lot of people say, the trouble is, I've heard people say their figures are the most accurate you can get as far as their economy is concerned. I've heard other people say, you should take it with a pinch of salt. It's a bag of lies. In fact, not a pinch of salt, a bag of salt. Because what they're punching out there is just to placate, you know, 1.3 billion Chinese people. So the economy's fine. You know, they live a lie. That's the whole point of communism, essentially. You know, you can tell the people what they think, what they need to hear, you know, to keep them satisfied, happy. And so that's essentially why the stock market at the moment, you know, it's dropped by 8.5% and everyone's panicking in the last day. It hasn't dropped that fast since 2000. Imagine that happened to the FTSE, dropping by 8.5% in one day. Quite scary. And that's not all. That's off the back of 150% increase in the last year. and has come back about 30% in the last month. So that's quite scary, you know. And so the authorities, who encourage the Chinese people to get involved in the stock market because the housing collapse that happened out there, now feel partly responsible for having lost lots of private investors' money. So anyway, I'm thinking, is this a bigger play? Is the market out there reacting like this because the economy is in trouble? Because in the end, you can't hide everything from, you can't falsely stimulate, you know, indefinitely. The market will play out. The truth will out in the end. And so part of me thought, if China goes in the plug hole, we're all a bit knackered, aren't we? I mean, but then again, if you look at economy one, America, economy three, pretty much, is Japan. They're not doing too badly. They're okay-ish. Economy four, let's say Europe, because Germany, France, they're pulling out. Are we likely that China could take us into recession? But having this in my head, all right, doesn't mean I should panic. Because, you know, as you know, there were rumours about a credit crunch way before the stock market crashed. So it's time to think, to have this in your head and think, okay, can I clean up my my portfolio a little bit? And remember, you have until, you know, end of this year, when the stock market rally, probably the first quarter of next year, to start trimming. So it's not a bad thing to always have in your head the fact that there may be a recession around the corner. Let's be honest, we've had six years of a bull market rally. So probability suggests we are, you know, due for a major pullback a little bit, you know, because we've been rallying. Not so much the FTSE 100, but look at the FTSE 250 has, and the American indices has. So, you know, we are due for a little pullback. And is China, you know, the catalyst for this pullback? Could be. So, listen, it's not bad reading negative press about the markets because it keeps you firmly in reality and stops you becoming too deluded. What am I trying to say? I've no idea. All I'm saying is, you know, be careful out there, okay? And joining me on the podcast, Alan Green, CEO of Brand Communications. You all right, Al?
Yeah, I'm good, Jess. How are you doing?
I'm all right. Do you know what? I'm feeling a bit bearish at the moment. I don't know why. This recent, I don't know if you've seen the stock market in China, down 8.5% today. That's even with all the efforts from the government to stimulate that stock market. And it's the biggest sell-off since 2007. And I think, wow, that's a bit scary there. What's happening out there? I know it's, you know, sort of insulated to a certain extent because foreign companies can't get involved there. Yeah. But I'm thinking, you know, is the, you know, the market sometimes is the truth, isn't it, to a certain extent, you know? Things play out in the market, and no matter how much you try and falsely stimulate it, you can't go against the market forces for too long. And I'm just thinking, is this a more telling picture? Is the Chinese economy suffering more than we realise, you know? So I'm a bit bearish, and I think, you know, unlike the Greece situation, which, you know, had the potential to throw a bit of uncertainty away. The Chinese economy is second biggest in the world, and if that you know, that is in a downward spiral, then we should all watch out, you know.
Well, I think it's complicated because yes, it's the second largest economy in the world, but it is also an emerging economy too, and it's very rare to get the two together, where you've got an enormous economy that affects everything in the world, and an emerging economy with the attendant rates of growth and corporate governance issues and all everything else at the same time. And that's part of the problem that China's had. It's getting its house in order, but we've seen numerous horror stories where companies have come to market and then they've gone bust, or the directors have run off with the money. It's you know, those are isolated incidents, but the fact is that there are some issues with corporate governance there, which have led to uncertainty. And of course, the market props up some of the largest resource stocks that make up the FTSE 100 and other European Eurozone and US indices. So of course, yes, it is a concern, but it's a correction. It's also summer as well. So volumes are quieter and lighter. So if the trouble is going to start now, which, if you look back at the last few years, I think we've had a mini crisis of one sort or another over the summer months, which has pretty well resolved itself come sort of mid quarter three, quarter four. So I think a correction in China is healthy. It needs to get its house in order, but let's not forget that market's still growing at a rate of knots.
Yeah, but even now, I mean, I suppose it doesn't help because this comes on a retaking sort of a lead from there, and the FTSE is down 0.7%. And I'm looking at, you know, it's been quite, I'm looking at the 5-year chart of the FTSE here, and last 2014, 2013. it's been, you know, gradually rising, and a couple of dips in 2014. But now it's almost seeing the vertices is almost, you know, grinding it lower. And it's, it, like I said, that the previous, let me just go into a 1 year chart there, just looking at. Yeah, so the previous high we just had, went to bounce back from the Greek problem, it went to 6,800, and that's come back. So it's a lower high. I'm just wondering now, it's not a good sign, so we'll see. Hopefully it is a seasonal thing, but yeah, I mean, I suppose there's nothing wrong with it. European economy is improving. You know, the UK economy is improving. America's okay, so they seem to be doing well. It's, but this may be, I think it's all the threat of the China thing and the interest rates issue that's going floating around at the moment. Maybe it's just that and the season, you know, the time of the year.
Yeah, I think that's it. You know, a lot of bad news and numbers. Does find its way out into the investment community during the summer, and clearly with the China issue, the movements in the markets are likely to be exaggerated because volume is lighter, because you know, the institutions have more or less put their books on hold for August and possibly most of September as well. So I think we're going to see the markets bounce along for the next few weeks around this level, looking a bit uncertain, and in the run-up to Christmas, of course, the retailers start to benefit, and the markets generally get a bit punchier. But
if you had a bit of percentage on it, bull bear, how bullish are you? I mean, what percentage? Because we're all a little bit of bear. I don't think you can either be one way or the other. But I mean, are you in the main bullish?
I'm in the main bullish. Yeah, I see. I believe. Yeah, we'll probably see another step down for the FTSE over the next 4 to 6 weeks. But I think it'll be limited. I don't think we're going to see. I don't think we're going to see a drastic fall. I think we're going to see muted trading. And really, we're probably in the kind of almost in the go away in May phase now. You know, volumes are light. There's little news of significance coming out. We know the threats in the market. The China correction, in my view, is a good thing. Let's see that market correct further, and let's absorb the impact into the Eurozone and US markets, and then build from there. I'm bullish longer term. We've got strong economies that are recovering. The UK economy is in great shape. We've got good visibility going forward. Greece is not an issue. It's already priced in. China could have a bit more of an impact, but purely on the resource related FTSE stocks. By and large, I'm a bull, and I think I do expect the FTSE to return to 7,000 by the end of the year.
All right, that's what I like to hear, Al. That's cool, marvelous. Right, let's get this for a specific stock here. What are we looking at here?
Well, this is a company we looked at back on June the 1st, Justin. It's a tiny company with a 4.1 million market cap called DDD Group. The epic code is DDD.
Yeah.
Now, DDD Group were pretty high profile a few years ago. They were riding the crest of the 3D PC wave, and a lot of their technology was integrated into 3D televisions and so on. Then the 3D market effectively went pop as 2D tablets came in. Most recently, DDD Group have developed a 2D background for broadcasting and for use in media. It's a product called TriDef SmartCam, This technology is being used by a number of media agencies around the world. Split Media Labs have a revenue sharing deal, and the company's turning over. Well, last year turnover about $2.5 million, it raised some money for further developments. But the share price was back about 37p in 2011, so it's come a long way back. Share price is currently, it's been as high as 7p. It's been down as low as 1p. Currently at 2.7p. But what is significant here is that the revenue streams are starting to develop. But there's an announcement last Friday that took us way back to the 3D heyday in 2010-2011. At that stage, the DDD Group were aware that or believed that LNG Electronics, the big electronics manufacturer, had had infringed their patents with their technology. It's taken until now, but last Friday they announced that a company, international law firm called Quinn Emanuel, would be pursuing LNG Electronics for patent infringement. Mm-hmm. Now, why is this significant? Well, Quinn Emanuel are a massive international law firm. They hire hundreds of lawyers. They have won 90% of similar litigation cases, and I looked at their website earlier today. The recent clients that they won for this year include Uber, Marvel, Colgate, Pinterest, Samsung, and last year they scored major wins for clients including Google and Motorola. So this is a company that will get involved with your case if they believe they've got a very good chance of winning. Clearly, they have a profile themselves to maintain. So they clearly believe that there's a very strong case. DDD Group have a very strong case to claim damages from LNG Electronics. The announcement last week was about this. Now, clearly, if there are back payments due and they've hired a firm of the caliber of Quinn Emanuel, there is going to be a fair amount of money coming in pending a successful outcome. And last Friday, the share price fell. It moved from 2.5p and dipped down to 2.2p. It's up a bit today.
Yeah, it's up 5% of it. 2.775 I'm looking at, yeah.
Yeah, and we're still market cap around sort of 4 million. So really, it's quite exciting because the potential payback that could come from this case, clearly it still has that they've still got to go through the full legal process, but the potential payout from this could be quite significant. So given that DDD Group are developing Trido Smart Cam, they're developing partnerships to resell this, it's the company now would seem to be, as has been this pretty well marks as low as it's got. Well, it dipped to 1p earlier this year, but it's pretty well as low as it gets. So really, there would seem to me to be very little downside left and quite a bit of potential upside.
Yeah, so, and is this, I'm trying to read, is this also like for past damages, obviously, but yes. Is it ongoing? Are they still using this type of patent or this image conversion and encoding technique, they say? Because if it is, then I assume they'd get ongoing payments, wouldn't they? I mean, you know, if that's, I don't know if they're still using this kind of, but I assume they are, because 3D, 2D to 3D conversion function is still quite new, isn't it? So,
I wouldn't think it's an old technique,
it's not an old technique, is it?
I believe that is the case. That's why the case has been going on for so long, because LNG or LG Electronics appear to have ignored DDD Group's claims and letters in the past, which is why they resorted to legal action. So clearly that's the processes or the technology that LG Electronics are employing in their televisions and so on that they're selling are still infringing the DDD Group patent. Yeah, perhaps there will be a revenue sharing arrangement going forward, which again could be very exciting. But either way, we've got the company here at 2.5, 2.7p, 4 million market cap, which is very very modest considering what could potentially come from this. Let alone any additional sales, any additional partnerships with Tridev SmartCam.
Yeah, it's almost worth it's a punt, isn't it? Really, but I mean, it's almost worth having a stop loss, maybe at 2p, because if it goes below that, maybe a bit of a problem. But as I said, you know, I don't know how long this court case is going to take. But like I say, if LG is a huge company, and I haven't any idea of the figures that's discussed, how many of their TV sets have used this. Yep. But I can't imagine it's a small figure. You know, it's got to be quite big. Let's be honest, because I mean, I'm looking at the turnover of DDD, and it's not a lot. You know, it wouldn't take a lot to make a huge impact on their share price, because the revenue last year was only $2.5 million, dollars, and they made a loss of just under $2 million on that. So, you know, it wouldn't take a lot to make that share price surge. So it's an interesting punt, isn't it? It's one of those things that, wow, this is like a little clever little punt. If people know about it, I don't know how long it takes, but it's almost like worth sitting on for a little bit and seeing what happens. But
Well, it is, but yeah, it was just interesting looking at the Quinn Emanuel website and the case wins that they'd had and the clients that they're battling for. This is probably one of the top law companies in the world, so they have a reputation to protect. They're not going to get involved with a case if they don't think there's a very good chance of winning. And who knows? I mean, maybe LG Electronics will see this announcement and take the view, do you know what, there's no point in battling this because DDD Group will probably win, so they may even opt to settle out of court. You know, it's... all sorts of possibilities there, but it's an exciting play, and you've got that you've got that on the horizon, and also the growth in 2D as well, which with the Trident Smart Cam is a lot of revenue sharing arrangements and further partnerships. I'm sure will be forthcoming.
Yeah, so and I'm looking at I don't know if they knew about this, but two of the directors bought some stock last month. You know, sort of 15 grand, 20, not a lot. But, you know, and also you're right, but that law company, the clever thing about that law company is they're clever enough to only take on cases that will help their stat, that 90% winning stat. They're not going to try and, because that to them is self-fueling, isn't it? Because if they can prove to people that, you know, 9 times out of 10, they're right, then they're going to attract good clients. But also then they have to really sift through the cases they think will improve that stat. So they're very clever there. So they won't take on clients, like I said, that they think will be in that 10% of losers. So, it's a good bet, I think. Marvellous. That's, DDD Group. And the ticket code is DDD. Cheers, Al.
Cheers, Josh. Thank you.
Okay, it's time for the micro macro news. Here's the macro news. Shares in mainland China saw a steep slide towards the end of the trading day on Monday. The fall was the biggest one-day loss since February 2007. The Shanghai Composite closed down 8.5%. I don't know what accent that was, to be honest. To 3,725. They're saying 3,500 is the support level. After more weak economic data raised concerns about the health of the world's second largest economy, profit at China's industrial firms dropped by 0.3% in June from a year ago. That follows data on Friday that showed that factory activity contracted the most in 15 months in July. But do we know what's going to happen there? You know, the Chinese can't afford to have 1.3 billion people suffering, or the majority of them. So they'll stimulate to the point where, you know, they can do no more. And they're scared to have a recession on their hands there. So I think they have to, you know, pump it up. Pump it up, Chris. David Cameron says business deals worth more than £750 million will be made during the tour of the Southeast Asia. Mr. Cameron is accompanied by 31 UK business leaders on the trade union mission, which starts in Indonesia. Oh, that'll be a fun-filled flight, won't it? David Cameron, all those business leaders. Imagine the party town there. God, you imagine that. UK Prime Minister says he wants to forge links with the era's rapidly growing markets for British goods and services during the four-day trip. I bet all those business leaders are trying their best. You know, they're jumping over each other just to meet David. Oh, hello, David. Hello, Mr. Cameron. Oh, yes, I'm so-and-so, so-and-so. I'm the CFO of this company. Ooh, I'm the CEO. Ooh, David. Ooh, David. Can I get you some nuts? That's the scene. British factory orders grew at their weakest pace this month in 2 years, according to the industry survey that suggested a strong pound has further crimped the outlook for manufacturing exports. The Confederation of British Industries industrial order book balance fell to a minus 10 this month, its lowest since July 2013 from minus 7 in July. Economists in a Reuters poll had expected a slight improvement to minus 5, so it was minus 7 in July. They were expecting it to go up minus 5, actually dropped down to minus 10. However, the index was still above its long-run average of minus 15. Okay, it's time for the micro news. Here's the good news. Thumbs up, everyone. Ryanair has posted 25% jump in first quarter profits, saying full-year results will be at the top end of its guidance range, but warned that overcapacity could weigh on average fares. Hiscox reported a lift. Did he? Good. In pre-tax profits for the first half of the year, but warned Mother Nature could impact its business. Well, do you know what? It can impact all our businesses. But I suppose in insurance, you're more exposed to Mother Nature. Food producer Cranswick, and I'll be chatting with them about them later on in the week with Alan, I think, reported an increase in revenue and underlying sales in the first quarter as trading was in line with expectations. Reckitt Benckiser raised its like-for-like revenue growth target for the full year as it posted a jump in first-half pre-tax profit amid broad-based growth across its businesses. Octagonal reported a strong strong quarter following the acquisition of Global Investment Strategy. GVC Holdings, God, they won't let it go, will they? Has confirmed that it's raised its offer for Bwin Party Digital Entertainment following the company's acceptance of a recent bid from 888 Holdings. I thought I was done and dusted, but they're still hanging in there. Let it go, fellas. You're overstretching yourself. And I think there's smaller market cap as well than Bwin Party. So let it go, fellas. All right? You're going to stretch yourself too much. And it'll all end in tears. Randgold Resources, as Tongan gold mine in Ivory Coast continues to make progress in dealing with its throughput challenge. Oh, I've had a couple of problems with my throughput challenge in the past. And I'm not going to go any further there. It's below the belt, literally. BG Group, which has agreed to be taken over by Royal Dutch Shell, confirmed today that it has received unconditional merger clearance from the Brazilian Competition Authority for the takeover. Good. Fevertree. Fevertree saw its, that's a posh drink maker, so its half-year profits and revenues jump thanks to strong growth in its US and Europe businesses. AFC Energy has signed a power purchase agreement with German power supplier Stadtwerk Stadl. Range Resources has received regulatory approval for a $30 million funding deal with Beijing SIBO Investment Management. That's good. Here's the bad news, thumbs down. Merlin Entertainment has warned full year earnings would be about half of what it made last year following a rollercoaster crash at its Alton Towers theme park in June. Wow. Manufacturing Group Senior reported strong currency headwinds, hit its first pre-tax profit, although revenue was boosted by favorable currency movements. Sort out your hedging. Arcadia Mining posted a sharp drop in first half net profit, weighed down by lower gold price, higher costs and sales and foreign exchange losses. Yeah, the gold thing. I think it's going to go below 1,000 pounds an ounce. And they're saying that, you know, standard production costs pretty much run about 12, for any gold miner, run about 1,200 per ounce. So obviously the bigger ones can, you know, handle this loss for a while, but smaller companies, smaller mine outfits in the gold sector can't. So be aware of that, okay? Dialyte posted a 74% drop in profits for the half year. Not good. And Petro Diamonds production was up, but revenue is down 10% for the full year. Upgrades. Here's the broker forecasts. RBC Capital Markets upgraded Centrica to outperform. Pete will be happy on the Saturday podcast with a price target of 320. If you haven't listened to the Saturday podcast, have a listen to it. Literally, we have a laughing fit halfway through. I just do an impression of Uncle Ben and his rice, and him crazily obsessed with cooking rice all the time. And in the end, I just couldn't stop laughing. Exane BNP Paribas has upgraded Tate & Lyle. That's two upgrades for Tate & Lyle last week to neutral. Price target, 525. That's it for the podcast today on a Monday. Lots of big companies reporting this week. I think Next and Barclays. I think Royal Dutch Shell out. I think it's the GDP figures from America, from UK. So it's going to be a busy week. But today, it's quite quiet. We're just easing you in on a Monday. Easing you in there. So it's quiet today. But listen, if you want to get in contact, please do email me podcast@advfn.com. Or if you're on iTunes right now, 5-star rating, please. Muchos apreciados. And just let me know what you're doing. We listen to podcasts. I know lots of people listen. I don't know what you're doing. You know what I'm doing? I'm sitting here naked talking to you. But let me know what you're doing there. And much appreciated that. And if you can, just tell a friend about the podcast. That would help. And by all means, if you want to interact more and you think you know of a game changer of a company, then click the links here on the SharePickers website, sharepickers.com. Or if you know a possible 10-bagger, then also click that little link there at sharepickers.com. Don't forget, please don't buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation on the podcast. It's only just opinion, and it's not your opinion. So please, you know, do your own research, as it's your own money. Thank you very much for listening. I really appreciate it. And speak tomorrow.
The ADVFN Podcast with Justin Waite.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.